Starting Sefer Vayikra, the Sefer begins, Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem Eilo, Vori Omer Lemo. So as we see right away in the beginning of Vayikra, the Sefer begins with this famous Aleph Zeiro, small Aleph. So Chazal say, where did the small Aleph come from? So the Medrash tells us a fascinating thing, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't want that it should be written Vayikra el Moshe, Loshon Shel Chiba. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to get the honor that the Ribbono Shel Olam was calling him with this Loshon of love. Instead, he wanted to be called similar to Bilam HaRosha. He wanted to be Vayikra. Vayikra would mean, and Hashem met him. It was a Pegisha. He met him like Bilam HaRosha. By Bilam, it never says a Lashon of Chiba. It says Vayikra, Vayikra El Bilam. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for. So the fact is, Hashem wanted it to say Vayikra. So Moshe Rabbeinu had an Eitzah. He made a small Aleph. And by making that small Aleph, he was able to accomplish the humility that he was looking for, and at the same time, he fulfilled the Ribbono Shel Olam's quest that he should be written Vayikra. So he stated in Chazal. The later Mefolshim used this Medrash as an interpretation for why it says in the Sefer Shmos that Moshe Rabbeinu had the Karnei Hoyt. He had those pillars of light that radiated from him. And it says, where did those pillars of light come from? It came from the extra ink that was left in the kulmas. Moshe Rabbeinu had extra ink left in the pen when he was writing the Torah. And he put it on him, and from there came this radiation. This unbelievable radiating, at least, Lav Dafka, was it a mitzias? It's a shayl in the Mefarshim. There was a mitzias of light, or there was a perception of light. But there was a perceptive light coming from Moshe Rabbeinu, and it all came from this. So how could it be there was extra ink? Ribbono Shel Olam put in the right amount of ink? There's no perfection like by the Ribbono Shel Olam. That means there was an exact right amount of ink. So how could it be that there was leftover ink? The explanation is, it was this ink that would have made the large Aleph, that Moshe decided to make the Aleph smaller. So that difference in size of the Aleph is what created this extra ink that was left in the kumas. That's the pshat. But everything here begs for an explanation. Why did Moshe pick here to make that request to lower his perception in the eyes of Klal Yisrael? Why did he pick this sefer to do it? Why was it such a great thing? It sounds like the whole schus that Moshe had Karnei Hoyt came because of this, because he wrote a small Aleph. Such a great schus. Why was such a great schus that Moshe did it? What was so gevaldic about it? Additionally, when we start Sefer Vayikra, we know there's a tremendous emphasis on humility. A person to be an honor. Chazal start the parsha right away. It says, "Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'amalt aleihem odom ki yakriv mikem korban l'Hashem." Right away, it starts Vayikra, telling us that when you bring a korban, it can't be stolen. Can't be stolen. So Chazal say, how do we know a korban can't be stolen? So actually, the Gemara Bava Kama brings many psukim. There's korbanai v'loyah gozel, there's lochem, there's a bunch of korbanais psukim that we can learn out that the korban has to belong to. But the Chazal in this week's parsha pick this pasuk, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban l'Hashem. Why does it use the word Adam instead of Ish? It says Adam ki yakriv mikem. So Chazal say, Ma Adam. Adam Rishon never brought a korban that was stolen because he couldn't, because kol ha'olam shaloi, everything belonged to him. So to you, don't bring a korban that's stolen. That's the Chazal. The obvious question is, what do I need such a drasha for? Just tell me I can't bring a stolen gold. Don't make an equation to Adam Rishon. If anything, Adam Rishon confuses it. Because Adam Rishon Taka couldn't bring from Gezel. He couldn't. We could. Let the Torah just say, Korbonoi, Lochem, like it does everywhere else, by Luluv, Matzaschem, by Matzah, Lechem, Lechem from Chala. The Torah has ways to tell us that something has to belong to you. Why did the Torah here pick the way to communicate this idea to us by using the word Adam? Adam, ki Yaakov mikem, be like Adam Arishon. It's evident that Chazal were trying to say there's something specific that we learn from Adam Arishon. Something specific. So years ago, I thought of a pshat that Adam Arishon, a lot of times a person does shtick. Not gzeila. Not gzeila. He does a shtick. So, whether it's Einoa, he overcharges. Whether it's a shortcut that he managed to do, get around a legal patent, somebody else's idea. Whether it's he sells something and he overstates what he's selling. Many different ways that a person could do shtick within the realm of kosher. Sometimes it's even kosher. Sometimes it's really kosher. Sometimes it's kosher because you're an amoritz. You don't realize it's not kosher. And sometimes you can actually take out a shulchan aruch and it's kosher. It works out. You can make it work. When you bring a korban, it has to be to such a level of perfection that it doesn't have even a srach of gezel. And there was only one person that was mufka from any srach of gezel. That was Adam Rishon. It's called Olam Kulei Shaloi. So Adam Rishon couldn't have any shtick. There was nobody to outsmart. There was nobody. It was Adam. And everything was his. So therefore, when you bring a korban, let it meet up with that level of perfection. That's the way I used to explain it. What the Torah means here. When you bring a korban, it should be in a higher level of perfection. But I'll tell you another mahalach, which I think will give us more clarity. And this is a double-edged question. A korban, a person brings because, generally speaking, because they have some kind of a chet. Again, there's such a thing as an adova. There is such a thing as a donation. A korban you bring just as an adova. But the main tafkid of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash is to have a kapora. Over there we bring chatois and hashomois. And even a korban oil is machapra on a nasei. It's machapra on bad thoughts. Hirhurim roim. Right? So generally speaking, the mizbeach is called a mizbeach kapora. That's the job of a mizbeach. The reason why you can't put metal on the mizbeach is because the mizbeach lengthens people's lives by giving them a kapora. So really a korban should be a personal experience. It makes sense that a korban should be a personal experience. Which means, person, because after all, tshuva is definitely a personal experience. You can't hire a rov to do tshuva for you. Right? I would say that the ultimate mitzvah shebeguf is tshuva. Right? If we have to talk about a mitzvah shebeguf, the ultimate mitzvah shebeguf is tshuva. You can't have a rov put tefillin on for you either. Can't make a shliach for tefillin. But there you can start analyzing it. You can analyze. You know what? Let the rov put on tefillin for an extra hour and let me have the schus of that tefillin. We can clear on shayitz. The halach is no, you can't. The Tosfos Chit says in Kiddushin, any mitzvah that has to be on your body, you have to experience. You can make a shliach to eat for you. It doesn't work by mitzvahs. But conceivably, say, have a kazayas matzah for yourself. And then I'll list Dr. Naaman, have another kazayas for me. Five kazayas, actually. But whatever it is, have another five kazayas. Women would love to do that. And men eat enough taka to be yetzer, the shlichus. But the Metzia says you can't do such a thing. But I'm saying conceivable, on a conceptual level, one would be able to say, you know what, you can make a shlich as long as he has an extra kazayas. Possible. Now, loch is it doesn't work. But if there's one aspect in a mitzvah that shlichus is completely excluded and unthinkable, it's the gabi tshuva. You can't have somebody else do tshuva for me. I gotta do tshuva. There's no way of me getting somebody else to do tshuva. Tshuva is me. Tshuva Yisrael and Hashem Elokeinu. Either I'm doing tshuva, I'm not doing tshuva. It's not a question of an act happening, of having a ma'aseh tshuva done. So you would think that when a person is chayav achatas, he's chayav an oshan, he's chayav an oyla, you would think that it would be incumbent upon the person that he comes to the Beis HaMikdash and whatever has to be done, he does. But you find a fascinating thing. Fascinating. Korban is adon al yidei achar. Don't move a kohen. Yisrael doesn't do the avodah. Very strange. It would make so much more sense. You come into Beis HaMikdash, you do the avodah. You do the avera, you do the avodah. But no. Here everything is shlichus. Avodah, which is doesn't make sense, tshuva, should be a shlich, and dafka the korbanos adon al yidei shlichus. It's fascinating. Yeah, there are aspects but the avoida, the kapora of the kol, the part of the kol that's really giving you a kapora, you don't do. And the Gemara comes a kedushin on that memala from the base. The Gemara wants to learn shlichus from kachim. The Gemara says, why don't we learn shlichus from kachim? V'shachtu oisei kol ka'aras Yisrael. The Gemara says, no, you can't learn shlichus from kachim. Because Kotchim roiv maseyam al yidei shliach. Kotchim, everything is done with a shliach. So the Rishonim ask. So learn from roiv maseyam. Why don't you learn from Kotchim? The Gemara seems to say, Kotchim, of course shliachas works. It's almost like, Kotchim, it's logical that shliachas works. It's mainly shliachas. Why is it mainly shliachas? It almost sounds like it's a preference. So it's not like I'm just dreaming. If you look in the Ritfor, Kiddushin Raf Memala from the base, on that Gemara, Roiv Maseyam Al Yedei Shlich, comes the Ritfor and he says, Kiloimar, maybe here the Torah wants Maisei Shlich, Voloi Maisei Abayim. Fascinating. So this is like mysterious. It's mamish mysterious of here the Torah goes and makes the case, and the Rashba says maybe Lagabi Shchita, and the problem is that the Kohen can't even be our Shlich. The Gemara and the Dorim has a discussion. Now I'm asking you a question, that how could you make a shlich for you to do tshuva? How could you make a shlich for you to do vidui? Okay, so you could say like Abdaniel said, the vidui part that you do yourself. But really the question is even stronger. If you're not allowed to do something, you can't make a shlich. It doesn't even work. There's a rule in Shas. Kol milsa diyu le'motzi ovid le'motzi mashri shlich. Anything you can't do yourself, you can't make a shlich. Rav Scheinberg Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, he is a kasha mechanike. How could you, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that if you're makabel Shabbos, you can't light in a chanike. Instead, you appoint a shlich to light in a chanike. So Rav Scheinberg asks, how could you make a shlich if you can't light in a chanike? How could you make a shlich for it? Normally, you can't even make a shlich. So the Gemara comes in the Dorim and the Kedushin, and the Gemara actually says, you know what? The Kohen is not even our shlich. He's a shlich to Shemayim. The Gemara is a shiloh. Whose shlich is the Kohen? Whose agent? Is he your agent or Shemayim's agent? The Gemara says he's got to be Shemayim's agent. Because you cannot appoint an agent for something that you can't do yourself. And since you're not going to do avodah yourself, it can't be that the Kohen is your agent. So now do you realize how far my question is going? Not only does it not make sense that the Kohen should be a shlich, he's not even your shlich. Even less than shlichus. He's not even your shlich. Kohen is not even your shlich because he can't be your shlich because since you can't do it, so why didn't the Torah make it simple? You do the avodah. Remember, you do the kol. So poetically speaking, you could say in chovish matras mi beis asurim chveis, we can start saying stuff. But that's not the way tshuva works. Tshuva normally works. You do untie yourself. You do free yourself. What's going on? Another mystery about Kotchim is that it's obvious that most mitzvahs in the Torah are doable l'sho'ul deris. The mitzvah could be done whether the Beis HaMikdash is around, whether the Beis HaMikdash is not around. That's the rule by most mitzvahs. But even by most mitzvahs that it's roy to do the mitzvah at any time, and the mitzvah is practical at any time, but either you do the mitzvah or you don't do the mitzvah. If you didn't do the mitzvah, you don't get schar. Right? So for instance, if somebody can't get himself a lulav and eslik, he's stuck. So he could be depressed that he can't get himself a lulav and eslik. He could go in a corner and cry. Probably the right thing to do. Probably the right thing. I remember hearing from a Shalom Shvadron, Zechein of Orch, the Maggid of Yerushalayim. He says, in Shemayim, they're going to have two buckets. They're going to have the bucket of tears that you cry over your Gashmias, and they're going to have the empty bucket of tears that should have been for your Ruchnias. How many times did you cry over your Gashmias? Over money, over Palmos, over this, over health, over... And how many times do you cry because you couldn't do a mitzvah? He says, they're going to show you both buckets. Try not to be embarrassed. That was his message. But the bottom line is, you could take out a chumash from today till tomorrow, and you could read the pasuk, l'kachtam lochem b'yei marishin. You could read the pasuk that talks about lulav and esrog with the trop, and you could sing it like Rabbi Spivak. You could dramatize it like the way he reads the Megillah. You could do whatever you like. You didn't shake lulav. You're not getting schar for taking lulav. You get schar for wanting to do the mitzvah. Ma'alul v'akosul. But lulav is lulav. Either you did it or you didn't do it. If you don't have a matzah, a shmura matzah, you could take out all the psukim. And you could say, b'erev tech lo matzahs, a matzah is umrum yech luhu. And you could say, yirotzah, and it should be ki'ilu. I hate it. And the bottom line is, doesn't work. Either you ate it or you didn't eat it. And that's even a mitzvah that's noyig. It's noyig now. Just a matter I couldn't do it. And I'm a real oinus. I'm stuck in some African jungle. I'm stuck. I'm nothing. You still don't get schar. All of a sudden, korbanos, which require mikdash and require mizbeach and require kohen, require tahara, require... There's a long list of requirements and you don't have them. So he says, don't worry about it. Let's just read the parasha. Malo olavakosav, zeis hatorah. Just read it, and you'll get reward. This is very easy. It's very gishmak. All those people that don't learn, just read the pasuk v'shinantam levanechem. It's as though you learned. It's kvaldik. It's mamish kvaldik. Even though that pasuk is learning, but you're not going to get schar. Ki'ilu, that's why I picked the pasuk v'shinantam. Shinantam means you have to know kol ha'terikula. You're not going to get the schar of knowing kol ha'terikula. You know, you say v'shinantam levanach. Doesn't help. So why is it that by korbanos there's this tremendous leeway? That, again, it's true. Somebody has a yearning, a feeling to do a mitzvah, he gets reward for wanting to do a mitzvah, but it's, we don't find in Chazal this advantage that you read it. Just the reading of it is like you did it. What's the pshat? So I think our boy said a pshat here in this entire, right, Neshama Poem, so saying it exactly. That's our question. Why? Why is it that? Why is it that by Poem you could just talk and it's done? So I think that we could say, to have an explanation here, more clarity, is to analyze what is tshuva, what is real tshuva. So we know that tshuva, the components of tshuva, are generally broken down to three components of tshuva. Tshuva is azivas achet. You have to stop doing the avera. That's for sure. You have to have charoto alova. You have to have regret for what you did. And then you have to have kabbal alosi. And then you have to makabal on yourself for the future. So these three things sound very easy, but they're not easy. They're not easy at all. None of them are easy. None of these are easy. It's not easy to do azivas achet. It's not easy to... Azivas achet means I'm really letting go of the avera. That's not easy. It's not easy to do chavote, and it's not easy to do kabbalah also. It's all hard. These are all hard things to do. These are not easy. It's much easier to shake luluf. I need a kazayas amatz. This is not easy. It's easy. Tshuva, you do tshuva. Tshuva is not, it's not easy. It's very tough to do tshuva. So what is the real tshuva? What is the real component of tshuva? And I think there's one major nekuda of what can make somebody be about tshuva. And that is they have to better understand what a chet is. What's a chet? They have to better understand it. Just to give you a dugma, a person says something out of line to somebody else. They apologize. I'm sorry. How much does it bother you that you told somebody something out of line? It depends. Very much depends. You know, now there's a whole controversy in the political arena because there was a woman, a lobbyist, and she's not officially a lobbyist, officially she's a law student, who went to Washington to basically, what she was basically doing was lobbying for the president, for the president's health care program, which is supposed to include contraceptive drugs, that the insurances have to cover it, and that the all institutions have to offer it as coverage. And as I'm sure you all know, there's been tremendous controversy with the church, because the church is very misnagged to that, even more than we are, right? Because we hold that there's certain times where, yeah, the church is even more machmir. That's why we don't want the church paskening these shaylos, or abortion shaylos for that matter, because the church has no, they don't have the Torah. They understand if there's, well, if there's a suffix to the mother, even a suffix sakona to the mother. So they're not our poiskim, Baruch Hashem. But there's been true. So they had a woman who basically was lobbying. She came as a palva, but it wasn't palva. She was a direct shlich, not a shlich to Rachmona, but Lahavdol of Avdolah is a shlich from the Washington. And it was very clear she was lobbying for the president. So one of the major Republican, outspoken Republican radio hosts, Rush, the famous Rush, right? The Rosh. So he called her not such a Bakovadika name. Okay, you can imagine the name he called her, but he didn't give her the most Bakovadika name. There was a tremendous tone. There's a chiv apology. He has to apologize. He did apologize. It's not enough. He has to say it was all Yotze B'chodom. The president B'chodi Yivatzmai. Right? Not that I call it B'chodi Yivatzmai. I'm just saying. He called this woman to apologize to her on behalf of any zilzulim that was said against her. So then they uncovered, the media has uncovered, that a comedian who's very supportive, a liberal comedian, did the same thing. He used the same sprach on a conservative woman who's in the conservative side of the political arena. And not only was that comedian not Basholten, but he donated $1 million to the super PAC that supports Barack Obama, and they took it for covered gun. They didn't consider it a mitzvah habo bavera. They took the money. They feel the money is kosher guilt. And why doesn't he have a chiyuv to apologize? So this has been a huge tumult. So now there's been some statements made that he should taka do some kind of an apology. He should say something. And they're not taking the money, the $1 million is being used no matter what. But there should be some kind of an apology. So what do you see? There's apology and there's apology. The apology is based on your interest in the apology. So if you insulted somebody that you don't really have much shavius for, so you feel a little bit because you have a conscience. You feel a little bit. I insulted somebody. You want to say you're sorry. I'm sorry. If you really love the person, it bothers you more. Your apology is more sincere. And if this was a future business investor or a future customer of yours that could give you $10 million worth of business, that you insulted. Number one, of course, your apology, you'd be on the, but not only that, your mind will go crazy on you. How do you think that? Look, how do you take it? I hope I shouldn't have said it. How that's endeavor. You'll be tormented. You need to go for therapy to get out of your cup of I insulted. I'm such a meshugan. I insulted that person. They could have given me $10 million worth of business. I could have been living on Easy Street now. And a meshugan to me, I insulted them. So it's like I'm telling you, it could be the same insult. You look at the same insult. Depends on how much you're interested in that, and how much that insult interests you. If a person looks at a chet, that's not a big deal. I shouldn't have done it. They can never do tshuva. They can never do tshuva. Because how could you do tshuva if you don't have a conception of the gravity of what you've done? You don't realize that you did the avera, like the Rambam says, you distanced yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your source of chayim. If you don't realize that, so it's not possible. It's not humanly possible to do real tshuva unless you recognize what a chet is. It's not shayach. It's not possible. And if you don't feel that distance, if you don't feel, you know what, I did this avera, that's how the Rambam places tshuva. If you don't feel that through the chet, you distanced yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your source of life, not a good client, somebody that could give you some business, your source, your makor chayim, you'll never be able to do tshuva. How could you do tshuva? You don't know what you did. You don't feel anything. That's the nekuda. That is the nekuda of tshuva. Memela, when a person brings a carbon, the main job of that carbon is to feel that I now am separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I need to get closer. I just threw myself off the map. And therefore the avoid is done not by you. The avoid, you go to a coin, you say, you know, I need an intermediary. I distanced myself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I got to find my way back. Part of that process is I have to go to a coin. I have to go to somebody right now who's close to HaKadosh Baruch and he could bring me closer. Because if you think that you could just walk over to HaKadosh Baruch now like nothing happened, then you missed the whole point. That's why Kotshim is done that way. Dafka al yidei shliach. That a person should realize, you know, when I do a chet, I did mess up. I did mess up. The Rambam is very graphic when he talks about when you do a chet. Meshukot. He talks about your relationship with Hashem. Because if you don't realize that, you can never do tshuva. That is the point. And that's what the Sefer Vayikra is about, is to teach us how to find our way back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To realize that there's a relationship here, that we messed up, and we have to find our way back. We have to go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea. Odom Rishon, there were no mechitzas between Odom Rishon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Odom Rishon knew exactly how much he needed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Odom Rishon knew exactly, precisely how much he needed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Odom Rishon knew that everything in the world that he had came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were no mechitzas. Because Odom Rishon didn't earn anything. Other Mauritian didn't earn anything. Other Mauritian, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here's this, whatever other Mauritian had, Rebbe Hashem put into his hand. Other Mauritian was the only individual that never had a question of his life totally being dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he wasn't a Gazlan. Anybody who thinks that they're living in their own world, that's already a Me'ila, that's already Gzela. Anybody who thinks they don't need the Rebbe Hashem, that's already Gzela. That alone is gzeil. That's why every chet is called gzeil. Every chet is called a mal, like meila, like zeila. Why? Because that's really the Rebbeinu Shem is the source of our life. He's the source of everything we have, and that's what chet is. Chet is going against our source of life, and that's why it says when you bring a korban, your idea is to elevate yourself to that level of Odom Rishon. Odom Mauritian was not talking about whether you own the behemoth or you don't own the behemoth. That's a side issue. Of course you have to own the behemoth. But you have to elevate yourself to that level. And that's a whole different madrega. In the Mela, when there is no Beis Hamikdash, if you, as long as you sit there and you're mevakish the Shechina, then you're doing everything that you have to get from a carbon. Then you're doing everything that you need from the carbon. The carbon anyway was just a symbol of you understanding that you need to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the job of the carbon. And if you think about it, what's the lashon of carbon? Karev. That's what the carbon means. The word carbon means come closer. Means realizing that we distance ourselves. So when a person sits and he reads the Parsha Soila, and he says, I want the Beis Hamikdash, I want to be able to have the relationship with the Shechina, that is a call. That's why it's Kilu Hikrif call. That alone is experiencing everything that the carbon is supposed to give you. And that's the reason why that somebody reads the Parsha's call is Kilu Hikrif call. And the Mela Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu's highest level was that Moshe always felt he needed to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps we could say that's the pshat v'yish Moshe onav mo'id mikol ha'odam asher al panei ha'adoma, is because Moshe always felt that he had to get closer. A bal gaiva is somebody who feels he's there. And onav is somebody who feels he needs to go somewhere. He's not there. His focus is on what he doesn't have yet. His focus is on the madrega he doesn't have. A bal gaiva's focus is on what he has. And honor focuses on what he doesn't have yet. On the madregas that he doesn't have. A bal gaiva focuses on the madregas that he does have. And therefore, since the whole job of bringing a korban is to focus on what we don't have in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's where Moshe Rabbeinu left out the Aleph Zira. That's where he put the Aleph Zira. Because that's what every Jew has to feel. I'm missing an Aleph. I'm missing an Aleph. And if we want to know why Moshe was Zeicha to all the Madrigas, he was Zeicha. It's because Moshe was always on this path of focusing, becoming closer to the Shechina. That's the Yisrael.